We are enjoying the Christmas songs in this series. Next Sunday, I'll wrap it up with a sermon called The Birthday Boy. This morning, the Song of Zechariah. And we're in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited his people and redeemed them. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant with them, the covenant he gave to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness forever. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of God's tender mercy. The light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. Pray with me this morning. Take the silent moment, and as is so very crucial during this Christmas season with so much going on, would you just ask the Holy Spirit to clear the clutter from your minds this morning, things that have happened this past week, plans for this day, what's coming up next week. Just clear the clutter so that we might be completely tuned in to the Spirit of God this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for answering that prayer, giving us the ability to focus this morning on your word. We thank you for the songs of Christmas. Thank you for everything that has led to this. The Bible presentation, the music we've heard, the offering, the prayers. We just thank you for everything. And now I pray that this message would be delivered in such a way that Jesus Christ will be glorified, that we could go from here today saying, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We'll praise you for Jesus' sake. Amen. There are a few good laryngitis jokes out there. What do you call a veterinarian with laryngitis? He's a horse doctor. What Christmas carol is represented by Sir Lancelot with laryngitis? Silent night. Only one more to go. You're almost there. Guy goes into a Baskin Robbins and asks what the flavors of the day are. The server replies in a very raspy voice, "We're down to vanilla, chocolate, and banana." Noticing how hoarse she sounds, he asks, "Do you have laryngitis?" She quickly replied, "No, just vanilla, chocolate, and banana." Now remember, I said there were a few good laryngitis jokes out there. I didn't say I would be telling them. Well, in our text today, this is exactly what happened in the life of Zechariah. He came down with an old-fashioned case of laryngitis. This is, of course, in Luke 1, 18 to 22, which preceded the text, and I want to share it with you now. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know that this will happen? I'm an old man now. My wife is well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. And now, since you didn't believe what I said, you won't be able to speak until the child is born." for my words will certainly come true at the proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures that he must have seen a vision in the temple sanctuary. Because of his unbelief, Zechariah was stricken with muteness for about 10 months. During those days, he watched the development of his wife's pregnancy. This was an astounding miracle because of her age and her history of infertility. Zechariah contemplated the greatness of God, the privilege that was his to have a role in Jehovah's plan of redemption. When his silence was finally broken, the Holy Spirit gave him utterance to speak as the mouthpiece of God. This man, whose tongue went from locked to loosened in the blink of an eye, was ready to declare the counsel of God. In fact, Zechariah was more prepared to offer this prophecy than anything he had ever proclaimed. Think about it. He had 10 months of silence to get ready for this moment. Remarkable thing. So let's listen carefully now to the song of Zechariah. First, the promise of the Redeemer. Would you write that down in your notes? Beautifully prepared for us by Becky. We appreciate her work. The promise of the Redeemer. Last week we noted that Mary's hymn of praise is modeled after Hannah's song and the Psalms. Zechariah's song more closely resembles prophetic writings of the Old Testament, whereas the Magnificat we saw last week exudes this regal spirit. This Benedictus resounds with a truly priestly tone. In his hymn of praise, Zechariah gathers together the echoes of the Old Testament period and then fuses them to a brand new outpouring of jubilant hope and faith. The Redeemer will soon be on his way. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited his people and redeemed them. Now, I want you to notice right off the bat the absolute certainty with which Zechariah speaks here. He is a different man after solitary confinement with the Holy Spirit. The priest speaks as if Jesus had already been born, had already revealed the nature of his mission among us. God is here, and his purpose in coming is to redeem us. Now, some of the songs we sang this morning earlier so perfectly fit here, because this word redeem is freighted with fantastic meaning during the Christmas season. Combining the Old and New Testament usages, we can define redemption as buying back, paying the ransom in full. The concept most often had to do with the treatment of slaves. If a servant was sold to another household and mistreated there, the original owner could pay a ransom fee and buy that slave back. Once returned to the first master, the servant could be liberated completely from the life of slavery. And what a beautiful picture that is of what God accomplished through his Son, the Redeemer. Friends, we are born into the worst kind of slavery imaginable, the slavery to sin and total self-interest. Our cruel master, Satan, is intent on damning our souls forever from the presence of the Lord. But our original owner and maker devised this plan. I want you to write this down. To plan and buy us back and pay the ransom in full. He paid it in full. And sending Jesus on that first Christmas morning, our bondage to sin and Satan and judgment was broken. We can now be returned to our rightful master. We can enjoy the freedom of forgiveness. Oh, this is what Zechariah was so excited about. The promised Redeemer was on his way, and the world would never be the same again. He has visited His people and redeemed them. He goes on, He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of His servant David, just as He promised through His holy prophets long ago. Now, the word mighty is a reference to the strength of a bull. It's a symbol of great power. But do you see the problem here? We don't usually associate power with a newborn baby or a child. Come on. What's powerful about that? There have even been some movies and TV shows that fantasized about children with special powers. Watch this. And as we watch these kinds of things, it always occurs to us, this doesn't jive with reality. Children shouldn't be associated with great power, whether it's for good or for evil. But dear friends, this morning I'm happy to announce to you that our Lord was realistically introduced as a powerful infant, even, get this, at His birth. Listen to Isaiah's vision, chapter 9, performed from the Messiah by the London Symphony Orchestra.
Unto us a child.
I tried to find a place to cut that, and I couldn't. It's just too beautiful. I have the entire Messiah in my iTunes. How I praise God for this music that inspired so many and has inspired me personally. But think about the baby. It was a baby who inspired all of this. This would be no ordinary child. He's the mighty God, robed in humanity. And during this Christmas season, let's give thanks for this promise of our mighty Savior. Well, the second section of Zechariah's song demonstrates the product of our Redeemer. I want you to write that down as Roman numeral 2, the product. Though couched in political terminology, these verses actually celebrate the spiritual results of the Liberator's work among us. First, we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. What an amazing statement that is. Now, the list of our enemies would include the usual suspects: the devil and his demons, those family members, work associates, neighbors who have totally refused the salvation offered in Christ Jesus. We have been saved from them in the sense that we are protected from any permanent damage that they would try to inflict. Write that word permanent down. Yes, we will struggle with hurt feelings and rejection, but we will be insulated from any long-term or lethal effects. You know, some of you are just a few days away from painful family reunions and difficult Christmas parties. That's just the truth, isn't it? The number one holiday movie in the United States a few years ago was a comedy entitled Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn. It got its name from the fact that the young couple in the movie had to navigate the complicated scenarios inherent in what we now call blended families. You know, it had some very funny moments, but my wife and I walked out of the theater realizing that we had just witnessed what has become a very common experience in the North American family, friends. Perhaps the ones you love the most do not share your love for Jesus. These will be demanding days because those relatives are always looking for flaws in our Christian walk. But I can declare to you that your protection in these circumstances has been assured. Jesus Christ here in this text, this song of Zechariah, has personally guaranteed it. And those of us who are privileged to be surrounded by believing relatives, we need to remember and pray for those who are not blessed in this way this morning. This is not a fun time for many, many, many people. Second, Zechariah announces that God has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering His sacred covenant with them, the covenant He gave to our ancestor Abraham. God not only provided salvation through the Redeemer, but write this down, mercy in keeping His covenant. Mercy! Dear friend, God's the only one who's ever kept 100% of His promises. Jehovah pledged mercy to Noah and his family, and He delivered on that oath. He kept His word with Abraham and Moses, all the kings who served Him, all the prophets who thundered in His name. God kept His promise with Zechariah and Elizabeth here in our story, and Joseph and Mary that we heard about last week. He was faithful to the disciples and the early church leaders. In the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. I've got good news for all of us during this 2013 Christmas season. The Lord still shows His mercy by keeping His covenant. His covenant was to provide that perfect sacrifice for sin once and for all. And this is exactly what God produced in sending His only Son as the Savior. I ask you this morning, have you availed yourself of this marvelous grace so full and so free? The mercy of Almighty God can grant forgiveness for every sin that you have ever committed in that instant that you turn to Him in repentance. I urge you, if you have never done this, to call on Him today. Make this the day of salvation during this wonderful Christmas season. Third, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness forever. We live in a culture that uses fear to control us, to manipulate us. This can range all the way from the dread of cancer to something silly as the panic of not being able to find a parking space on a busy street. Friends, we've seen two products of our redemption, salvation and mercy. Here's that third outcome: bold, Spirit-filled service for the Savior. We don't have to be afraid. Bold. I love that verse there in 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Praise God, because of the mighty Messiah, we can go to work for Him with holy boldness today. We don't need to be shy. We don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be apologetic. We can lovingly move forward in full confidence that we are exhibiting His righteousness rather than our own. Notice the fact this is the very reason God rescues us from our enemies. We don't play to the grandstands. We don't fear anyone. Our focus is on God Himself. Then consider how long we serve. It says here, forever. As we go in the power of the Spirit, we will have strength for service right to the end here on earth, and then unlimited energy to serve Him throughout eternity. These are the products of our redemption provided by our Lord as sung by Zechariah. Salvation from our enemies. Mercy through promises kept. Enabling for bold, Spirit-filled service. Here's that final segment of Zechariah's song. The preparation for the Redeemer. In verses 76 to 79, this exuberant father now turns his attention to the son of his old age, John the Baptist. It must have been a proud and thrilling moment when he could tell the audience that his miracle baby would play a special role in the drama of redemption. We learn two things about John the Baptist in these verses. First, John's calling. John's calling. You, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. John was called to be a prophet and a forerunner for the Savior. He was to prepare the way for the Lord. The Heavenly Father wanted to use this servant to change the attitude of the people. I want you to get this. The Jewish community was expecting a political Messiah. And John wanted them to know that there was a much greater oppression lurking within the human heart. Much greater oppression. In Mark 1, 4, and 5, we see the essence of this shift in emphasis. This messenger was John the Baptist. He lived in the wilderness and was preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had turned from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. People from Jerusalem and from all over Judea traveled out into the wilderness to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. So we see then that the way of the Lord was vastly different from the way of the people. They needed to repent and experience the forgiveness of sins. And I submit to you, this was far more important than gaining freedom from Roman rule. And it's so true for us today. John's high calling to be the preparatory messenger, the trumpet blast announcing the entrance of the King of Kings. Second, I want you to see John's communication. John's communication. Clear communication can be so difficult. Oh, wow. So many communication problems. The prophet in our text was to clearly communicate the issues related to salvation, forgiveness of sins, mercies from God, and the radiance of the gospel. Look at this. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness, into the shadow of death, and to guide us in the path of peace. Did you know that Malachi 4:2 is a lovely cross-reference to this verse? But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. The original metaphor alluded to here in verse 79 referred to a group of travelers. We've all experienced this. Before they reach their destination, they're overtaken by the darkness of a pitch black night. They now sit terrified and powerless, expecting to be attacked at any moment by wild animals or enemies. Then suddenly, the sun rises to dispel the fear of the darkness. What a powerful picture of people without hope before Jesus came to our rescue. Friends, we were trapped in the darkness of sin. There seemed to be no way out, but the arrival of the Savior was the dawning of a new day. The brightness of his coming became our pathway to peace with God. It just doesn't get any better than this. We've all experienced this emotionally, that fear of night giving way to new hope at the sunrise. But my question again for you this morning, dear friends, have you experienced this spiritually? Can you say with the Apostle Peter that you have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light? Has that happened in your life? Do you know the Savior who, to know aright this morning, is life eternal? You know, for those of us who know Christ, let's acknowledge this truth, especially during the Christmas season. John's calling, alluded to in the Song of Zechariah, is our calling. John's calling is our calling. We too are called to prepare the way for people in our culture to meet the Messiah. People around us are looking for meaning and hope. Both can only be discovered in that meaningful relationship with Jesus. We can prepare the way, can't we? By our example of love, our humility, our servanthood. Through simple things like neighborhood get-togethers at Christmas time, where we have no other agenda than to just love our neighbors. As friends and relatives and associates and neighbors see the difference that Christ has made in us, they will be prepared to receive his salvation. We are to be preparers of the way, just like John. Now, a closing comment to those who have never made a commitment to Christ. Listen to me this morning. The Redeemer is here. He's here. He wants to buy you back from your slavery to sin and selfishness. Yes, even Satan. The price has been prepaid in full. You know, it's just like one of those gift cards that some of us are going to get at Christmas time. And it'll say, you know, $25 to use at Hortons or whatever. It's been prepaid in full. You can count on that $25. It's going to be there when you go to make that purchase at Timmy's. But you must receive this gift through faith, through repentance. The great God of mercy has compassion for your broken heart and life, just as he has had for this pastor's broken heart and life. Would you accept his love and forgiveness? I say this often. I hope it's not taken lightly. I speak for Pastor Tyler. I speak for myself. I think I would speak for most of the people, if not all, that are sitting around you this morning when I say it would be our privilege. It's never an interruption for you to come to us and say, you know, I've been hearing Pastor Tom talk a lot about receiving a Savior, and I want to know more about that. Could you show me how that's done? Oh, we would love to help you. One of the reasons I kind of hang around up here a little bit afterwards is not just to get all my toys put away, but it's because I'm hoping that somebody might feel this was a little more private moment where they could come and speak to me. And many of you have taken advantage of that through my year and a half here, and I'm grateful for that. I always want you to feel like you can come to me about any spiritual need. This is so important at this time of year especially. So receive that invitation this morning, would you? And be aware of the fact that there are people that would just give about anything to have you come to them and say, help me. Help me know Jesus. Worship team is going to come with our closing song this morning. And then we'll have our benediction. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful closing song. Come, thou long expected Jesus. How we celebrate your coming in this wonderful month of December. Would you come into someone's heart today? Would there be just one Lord here in this audience that has yet to know this wonderful Savior, born as a baby, now sitting at the right hand of his Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counselor, the Mighty God? How we worship you this morning. Bless us now as we go not from your presence, but with your presence, because it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.